In today's lecture, we're going to talk about a remarkable set, which is one of the things you'll probably remember about this course more than almost anything else. And it's called the Cantor set. So Georg Cantor had a lot to do with developing this set. And we construct the set with our bare hands. We begin with the unit interval S0, which is the interval 0, 1. We extract from S0 its open middle third. Thus, S1 equals S0, take away the open interval 1 third, 2 thirds. Observe that S1 consists of two closed intervals of equal length 1 third. The figure illustrates what S1 looks like. Now we construct S2 from S1 by extracting from each of its two intervals the middle third. So S2 now equals 0 1 ninth closed, union 2 ninth 1 third closed, union 6 ninth 7 ninths closed, union 8 ninth 1 closed. The figure shows what S2 looks like. Continuing in this fashion, we construct Sj plus front from Sj by extracting the middle third from each of its component subintervals. We define the Cantor set to be C, which is the intersection from j equals 1 to infinity, of all the Sj's. Notice that each of the sets Sj is closed and bounded, hence compact, and S1 contains S2, contains S3, and so on. So by an earlier proposition, C is therefore not empty. One could also note that the endpoints of the removed intervals are all in the Cantor set. The set C is closed and bounded, hence compact. It's closed because each of the Sj's is closed. It's bounded because each of the Sj's is bounded. Proposition: the Cantor set has zero length in the sense that the complementary set 0, 1, take away C has length 1. Proof. In the construction of S1, we remove from the unit interval one interval of length 3 to the minus 1. In constructing S2, we further remove two intervals of length 3 to the minus 2. In constructing Sj, we remove 2 to the j minus 1 intervals of length 3 to the minus j. Just thus, the total length of all the intervals removed from the unit interval at all the steps is summation j equals 1 to infinity, 2 to the j minus 1 times 3 to the minus j, which can be written as 1 third summation j equals 0 to infinity, 2 thirds to the j, which is 1 third, this is just a geometric series, so it's 1 third, 1 over 1 minus 2 thirds, which is 1. So the complement of the Cantor set in the unit interval has length 1, and therefore the Cantor set has length 0. Second proposition, the Cantor set is uncountable. Well, this is remarkable because the Cantor set is thin in the sense that it has length 0, but it's fat in the sense that it's uncountable. So, proof. We assign to each element of the Cantor set a label consisting of a sequence of zeros and ones that identifies its location in the set. Fix an element x of the Cantor set that x is in S1 for sure. If x is in the left half of S1, then the first digit of the label of x is 0. Otherwise, it is 1. See the figure below. Likewise, x is in S2. By the first part of this argument, it is either in the left half, S2, 0 of S2, when the first digit of the label is 0, or the right half, S2, 1 of S2, when the first digit of the label is 1. Whichever of these is correct, that half will consist of two intervals of length 3 to the minus 2. If x is in the leftmost of these two intervals, then the second digit of the label is 0, otherwise the second digit is 1. Refer again to the new figure. Continuing in this fashion, we may assign to x an infinite sequence of zeros and ones. Conversely, if a, b, c, and so on is a sequence of zeros and ones, then we may locate a unique corresponding element y of the Cantor set. If the first digit is a 0, then y is in the left half of S1. Otherwise, y is in the right half of S1. Likewise, the second digit locates y within S2, and so forth. Thus, we have a one-to-one correspondence between points of the Cantor set and the collection of all infinite sequences of zeros and ones. And of course, that set, the set of sequences of zeros and ones, is uncountable. Therefore, the Cantor set is uncountable. So once again, the Cantor set is quite thin because it has zero length, but it is large in the sense that it has uncountably many elements. Also, it is compact. The next result reveals a surprising and not generally well-known property of this thin set. Let C be the Cantor set and define S to be the set of all x plus y, where x is in C and y is in C. Then S is the entire interval 0, 2. So we'll sketch the proof. Since C is contained in 0, 1, it is clear that C plus C is in 0, 2, that's S. For the reverse includes infix an element t in 0, 2, our job is to find two elements c and d in c, such that c plus d equals t. First, observe that x plus the set of x plus y, where x is at s1 and y is at s1, equals 0, 2. You can check that with your bare hands. Therefore, there exists x1 and s1 and y1 and s1, so that x1 plus y1 equals t. Similarly, the set of all x plus y, where x is at s2 and y is at s2, equals 0, 2, which you can check with your bare hands. Therefore, there exists an x2 and s2 and y2 and s2, such that x2 plus y2 equals t. Continuing in this fashion, we may find for each j numbers xj and yj, so that xj and yj are in sj, and xj plus yj equals t. Of course, the set of all xj is a subset of the Cantor set, the set of all yj is a subset of the Cantor set, and since the Cantor set is compact, there are subsequences xjk and yjk, which converge to real numbers c and d respectively. Since the Cantor set is compact, we can be sure that C is in the Cantor set and D is in the Cantor set, but the operation of addition respects limits. Because it's continuous, thus we make pass to the limit as K goes to infinity in the equation xj plus jk plus yjk equals T to obtain C plus D equals T. Therefore, 0, 2 is contained in the set of all x plus y, where x is at C and y is at C. This completes the proof. In the exercises, we shall explore constructions of other Cantor set, Cantor-like sets, some of which have zero length and some of which have positive length. The Cantor set that we have discussed in detail in the present section is sometimes distinguished with the name the Cantor-ternary set. We shall also consider in the exercises other ways to construct the Cantor-ternary set. Observe that, whereas any open set in R is the countable or finite disjoint union of open intervals, the existence of the Cantor set shows us there is no such structure theorem for closed sets. That is to say, we cannot hope to write an arbitrary closed set as the disjoint union of closed intervals. However, De Morgan's law shows that an arbitrary closed set can be written as the countable intersection of sets, each of which is the union of disjoint closed intervals. In fact, closed intervals are atypically simple when considered as examples of closed sets. And that's the end of today's lesson. Thank you.